Good morning. I'd like to begin by reading a passage out of Luke 2. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. You know, we've read that story a million times, haven't we? So, a million and one now. And from our perspective, it all is such a nice, tidy little story. I mean, you know, what more a perfect person to choose to be the first to hear about Jesus and the first to see Jesus and the first to go tell people than a snuggly old shepherd. Man, those guys are really awesome. And, good choice, God. That was, you know, you could have chosen anybody and you chose a shepherd. That was really cool. The message was amazing. But who God chose as the messengers was really just as amazing and fits perfectly with the message. You know, David's talked about the message and the method for us so many times. You know, we can have this great message, but if our method doesn't really fit, it's something gets kind of twisted and perverted in the process. And, you know, I'm not an Advent person, but this year I tried to do the Advent thing. I got a book, and you know, I didn't make it every day, I must confess. But, you know, some of the days I did, and it was pretty cool. But I learned something about the shepherds this Advent year that I never really knew, and that may be surprising to you, or maybe not. Of course, Gooch, you're so stupid, you're always learning new things. This is what I learned about the shepherds in the first century. No group of people in all Israel was held in such moral contempt as shepherds. Now, does that just kind of set your world kind of like this? Unless it was the tax collectors. Now, we know the tax collectors, you know, but did you know that there was no other group of people in the society of the first century that was held in more moral contempt than the shepherds? No mother would ever hope and pray that her daughter would be married to a shepherd. We know that shepherds were forbidden to stay in a caravan stop, which was kind of like a truck stop, but it was also like a whorehouse. The shepherds were known to have sexual relations with their animals. Now that just ain't right. Testimony. Their testimony was not permitted in the court of law because they were so untrustworthy and unreliable. People were forbidden to buy anything from a shepherd because it was probably stolen property. If you see on Craigslist, shepherd down there, don't buy anything from him. They were told not to feel obligated to rescue a shepherd that was found in a pit. Don't feel obligated to help that guy. They were considered as unclean and couldn't enter the temple courts or certain homes. Now, God could have chosen anybody on the planet to be the first. You know, it's like, who should be the first in the whole creation that I'm going to tell and that's going to get to lay their eyes on my son and go out, and I'm going to trust them with the message first and foremost to go tell people what's going on. Oh, let me see. I got it. A shepherd. Now, I would have liked to have seen the expression on God's face when that idea came to him. You know, Paul in the book of Ephesians not only tells us what God's plans were, but how God felt about his plans. He said he was delighted and that these plans gave him great pleasure. You know, now, think of something that gives you great pleasure right now. I mean, just let your mind go there. And what happens to your face when you think of those things? You go, delighted. Turn to the next person next to you and show them your delighted face. You know, it's so cool just to think about how God felt about this plan. When he thought about the shepherds, he went, perfect! That is going to be so awesome! It couldn't be... It's a stroke of genius. I'm going to send this disreputable, disillusioned, morally corrupt, perverted person that has the worst reputation of anybody in the whole society. That's the guy that I'm picking for this job, this opportunity. I'm going to give that to this person. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, I know what you think about the shepherds, society. I know what your thoughts are when you think of shepherd. I'm going to show you what I think about the shepherds. And I know what the shepherds probably think about themselves. But I'm going to show them tonight what I think about them. And I wonder how they felt about themselves when it was all said and done. I wondered how these shepherds carried themselves from that day forward when God had given them that gift and that opportunity. It all fits, doesn't it? God says, I'm going to set a precedent tonight that I will not waver from beginning to end. These are the kinds of people that I'm going to give opportunity to. You know, it's one thing to be missed. It's another thing to be dismissed, right? I mean, sometimes we just get missed. Oh, he didn't notice me. I'm over here. But it's an entirely different thing to be dismissed. Oh, I see you. You can leave now. Oh, I can see you. You've screwed up. You're no longer worthy. Oh, I can see you. You're a hypocrite. You really don't belong here anymore. Why don't you just go away and you're just not worthy to be in this crowd? These are the people that Jesus came after, right? These are the people they chose from the very beginning. These are the people that from the precedent of his ministry, he was always after the unschooled and ordinary men. He chose an obscure little teenager to give birth to his son. He chose a father that mysteriously disappears after a few years. You see Jesus, how he treats the adulterous woman, the woman at the well, his affinity for broken people, diseased people, the lepers, the demoniacs. These were the people that Jesus gave his life to and gave his life for, right? This is what God is saying, speaking loud and clear. This is just how I roll. this is how I do things. And this is who we all are. You know, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And, you know, I don't care if you're a believer or you're not, you're religious or you're not, we all experience the consequences of our choices. You know, Paul said, we reap what we sow. Whether you're a believer or not, that's just what happens. And since we've all sinned, you know, we've all experienced the consequences of those sins. Whether you call them a sin or not, I don't care. You can call an apple a grapefruit, it's still an apple. You know, it doesn't matter what you call it, the fruit is still there, and we reap the consequences of our sinful activity. And however we want to try to cover it up or deny it or medicate it, the only real solution that we have is Jesus. That's our only real solution. And so God begins the story with the disreputable shepherds. Us, right? He said, I chose them and I chose you to have an opportunity and to tell a story that hopefully we all feel very undeserving. Because that's when our joy really goes to a whole different level, right? I mean, if we get an award because you sold more stuff than anybody else in your company, you just kind of go, yeah, it's my award. Or if our team scored more points than the other guys. But when there's just no reason for us to have received it, that's the expression on the shepherd's face when they go away rejoicing that night. We're going, we cannot even believe what we've been told and what we've seen. I can't even believe that we had that opportunity. And, you know, maybe they weren't the good shepherds in the bad shepherd team. You know, you're thinking, well, maybe God just shows the really good shepherds, even though, you know, shepherds at large weren't really that great. Maybe these were really the good shepherds in that group. Well, maybe not. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they just stolen some stuff or sold some stuff or behaved in a morally corrupt manner. Maybe that's just how their day went. And God comes to them anyway. Because really, that's how he came to us. It's not because we had proven ourselves worthy. We had a few good days. Okay, God said, you've had a good few days. Now let me. He came to us when we were still sinners. Christ died for us. We celebrate that today as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray.